Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And we're going to class up wrestling right now. We're going to make it nice and classy for you.
Tight, nice little bow.
Yeah. With all the wonderful happenings that we've gone through this week. Starting with what's clearly the biggest story of the week, as far as I'm concerned.
And what's that?
That's after months of anticipation, months of waiting on the edge of our seats, waiting for this moment, Brodus Clay has come back to the WWE.
He landed in the WWE from Planet Funk.
From Planet Funk in ways that we never expected.
Brodus Clay. The Funkasaurus.
Oh, man.
So, I'm curious, what was, whenever that happened, when that music hit, you saw the dancers come out, and you saw Brodus Clay sashay his way out onto the stage. What was your original first thought?
It wasn't even at that point. It was during his introduction, during when Justin Roberts started talking about him and said all the way from Planet Funk. And I went, well, I've misheard something. And it sounded so funny. And I was like, I'm so excited that I misheard this thing. And then he said the word funk again. I was like, what is this word he's actually saying that sounds like funk to me? I'm really curious about it. And It was funk.
It sure was.
And it's the thing is, we've been, you know, I don't think many people have really been waiting for this debut, but
yeah,
we've been told about it for months.
We've been told that when WWE does do this, that it's going to be a big deal.
Yes, they...
Like, Brodus Clay is going to be the second coming, basically.
Yeah. You know. Well, it just about had to be with all the build-up they've given it.
Right.
And so...
And that's just the whole reason why they've been taking their sweet time on it. It's just because they wanted it to be big, they wanted it to be extravagant, they wanted it, you know, the fans to be in awe.
Yeah, hit the right moment.
And they kind of were.
Yeah.
But not what we were expecting.
I mean... I enjoyed it. The level of commitment that Brodus Clay has to this new character is real, real impressive.
Yeah, I'll admit when I watched it live, right there on the spot.
Yeah,
I was a bit like, please tell me they're joking. This isn't his real debut. This isn't his real character. Is this really happening? Kind of situation, like. And I was kind of like, I was kind of mad about it.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like, you had us wait this long for this. And it wasn't until afterwards when I rewatched it again and again and again and again because I couldn't stop. I was, you know what? I enjoyed it now, you know. And maybe the entrance... Maybe wasn't my forte, but I definitely like his in-ring antics.
Yeah.
Just clowning around, basically, and still dominating. I just love that, you know?
I mean, at the end of the day, I was absolutely entertained by it. And
yeah,
so, if you can entertain in the ring, that's, you know, that's what works.
Yeah, whether or not WWE actually has some sort of, you know, plan for this, or... What the upside of this is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Part of me was scared that this is going to be like the Godfather.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he had his shtick, he came out with the Ho Train, and, you know, anytime they wanted a cheap pop from the fans, they'd bring him out and fans would start dancing,
yeah.
And, you know, all that stuff. That's what I was originally scared that was going to be. Hoping not.
Well, I mean, he did win his match. I mean, granted, it was against Curt Hawkins. It wasn't, you know, wasn't exactly a stellar opponent for him, but
no.
And it's just,
but he did beat someone with a pimp cane. Let's just go ahead and just put that out.
Yes, that did happen. It's just interesting.
I'm guessing somebody called his mom.
Somebody better have.
I know, dear Lord. Mm-hmm. He was demanding that.
All the investment that he had in that. it's interesting to look back over the months of buildup that we had now because when the buildup began, it was in these promotional videos that was mm-hmm. billing him as, you know, this kind of dominating
huge
powerhouse
monster. Like I went back and rewatched some of those just to kind of see how far they went in the thought process on this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he was being touted as literally, they would call him the fall of humanity.
I mean,
like, they just built up this epic monster character.
Yeah.
Through these promos, only to see, you know, a Run DMC reject.
Well, the rumors are that, months ago, he had pitched himself playing a character who was a monster heel that refused to sell for anybody and would make his way up the ladder by inducting all the faces in into his Hall of His Pain.
Yeah. I heard that too,
and so, you know, if that was indeed his idea, that's clear that they've taken that idea and used it for another wrestler. Who, to be fair, Mark Henry's taken the ball and run with that. Like, he's done a good job there, but
him and his pulled wiener.
Yeah. But there's, you know, the early promos kind of fit that character, and then they've tapered off. So.
Yeah, and then after, I think, when they had that last promo that said, oh, he'll be there next week. And that was 2 months ago. After that, they just quit with the promos.
So I'm curious to know the exact moment when they decided this is the way we're going to handle Daniel.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping it's not like, you know, WWE just couldn't come up with something for him, so they just gave up and just threw this at him.
Yeah.
Kind of as a last-ditch effort before, you know, scooting him out the door.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've heard that rumor since last night, too.
Yeah.
Just with, you know, just with people speculating, but still, like, you never, I don't know, to me, Brodus Clay has a character now.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be the first one to admit, back when he was with Alberto Del Rio, back during NXT, and even after the fact, I felt nothing towards the guy, like, I really just.
He just had a pouty face.
He was just there. Yeah, he had a pouty face, and I thought he looked like a turtle. That's mm-hmm. the only thought I ever had for the guy. So I'm excited to see some sort of flair with him. I'm excited to see something from him.
Yeah.
And it's something different from everyone else, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when every wrestler had an eccentric character. Yep. And, you know, now it's everybody's kind of the same athlete character. Mm-hmm. But that leaves a kind of a bland mid-card that I'll be quite happy to see him run around in as the Funk Man.
Like, I see if WWE actually has some sort of plan for this.
Yeah.
I feel like it's them trying to cash in on a Zack Ryder kind of eccentric character.
Build one up for themselves.
Build one up for themselves, or someone who's really just kind of a goofball.
Yeah.
Because that's really, I mean, let's be honest, you know, I love Zack Ryder just as much as anyone, but he's a goofball, you know? He's. You're not really going to take
him. Thank you, Michael
Cole.
Well.
Way to deflate my entire argument before he gets off the ground, you jerk. No. God.
I'm sorry, you're using PG insults. Which is,
well, because I wasn't trying to demolish the
which
guy.
Which is Michael Cole's bread and butter.
Well, Michael Cole's bread and butter is calling people a poopy face and just leaving it at that. Yeah. Well, Jerry Lawler makes some sort of dated comment.
Well, if nothing else, I know that we'll get that that entrance theme during the Royal Rumble.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that. That is fantastic.
Which makes the character worth it. That for that one thing.
I mean, and I just want you to know, like, for everyone out there, we're recording this the day after. All day today, to Tuesday.
Yeah.
I've had somebody call you mama stuck in my head all freaking
going down the road today and just...
Mm-hmm. Somebody call you mama.
Yeah.
Somebody call you mama. Yeah, yeah. And to be honest with you, the only thing I did not like was the choreograph with the girls.
Yeah.
Because Brodus, he was good, like, kind of doing his own gyrate and his own little moves here and there.
Yeah.
But the whole planned choreograph thing just looks so forced and so awkward. And I know how, you know, Dancing with the Stars, that just sounded. Like, it just, I don't know. That's the only thing that just didn't seem kosher with me.
Yeah.
It just, it looked off.
Yeah.
Other than that, I loved it.
I enjoyed it. But we're going to move on to another recent re-debut, I guess, because Jericho came back out and he had another week of no talking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. Like, it was the same thing as last week with the addition of him, you know, making it look like he was crying or acting or whatever he wanted to call that.
I mean, we spent a lot of last week talking about just, you know, what the, you know, no talking promo could have been about. I've started to jump on the idea of that they want Jericho to be a heel, but knowing that he's going to debut to such a big fan pop, the way that they're making him a heel is, you know, just making fans dislike him with this no talking thing. And he's, you know, both times he has done something different both times, both kind of making fun of how people re-debut, you know, kind of making fun of us, the fans, for buying into it. Cause we,
I'm sorry to interrupt Joel, but, Megan has a theory.
Okay.
She believes that Jericho is going to come out and just show a different emotion every week until he just runs out of emotions, and then he'll finally explain. So, you know, one week will be contempt, and one week will be anger. And,
yeah.
You know, just go through the entire spectrum.
Well, the, you know, clearly the big question is, how many weeks is he going to do this? I wouldn't be surprised if he does another no-talking thing next week. But yeah, my favorite thing going around the internet right now is that he has to do all seven dwarfs before he can do that. So we've got Happy and we got Bashful, and we'll see who comes next week.
Fair enough. I can get behind that. Yeah, I think, maybe one more week of it. Certainly I would hate if he kept this going all the way up to the Rumble.
Yeah.
Cause that would just really be way too long, but I don't know. That's the WWE for you. You know, if their fingerprints are over whatever story this is,
yeah,
it's going to be drawn out, and it's going to be, the payoff is not going to be what we were expecting.
If there's a dead horse nearby, they're the ones that can beat it.
But the horse is amazing.
The thing is, you know, I can get behind cheering for Jericho, and I can get behind booing for Jericho, but yeah, if this goes on for longer than another week, I don't think I'm going to care anymore, either way.
No, because, I mean, me and you, we have friends that are not really that into wrestling,
yeah,
but they still watch it just because, you know, we got them into it. They're threatening to just stop watching if this continues,
yeah,
you know. I got plenty of texts from those friends yesterday.
Which, you know, is the last thing WWE wants, so.
I know, especially with Monday Night Football over.
Yeah.
Like, this is their cash
this
cow.
This is their chance for people going to tune back in who haven't tuned in months. So, they need to start this.
Because they missed Raw for such fantastic games as the Seattle Seahawks and the St. Louis Rams. Woo.
Aw.
I know that sentence made no sense.
It actually did.
It did?
I didn't watch the game, but I keep up with my news.
Even the sports stuff?
Yeah. Every now and then. Take a gander. All right.
I'm impressed, Joel. Good job.
Thanks. It wasn't that hard. Especially apathetically looking at a computer screen.
Fair enough.
All right. Moving on. We'll talk about the furtherment of the Kane storyline with Kane. Kane continues to fight John Cena by stalking Zack Ryder the whole time.
Yep, and now he's extended to Eve.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, the chick who's not really into Zack Ryder, but Zack Ryder's really into her kind of deal. Like, it's like, hey, I'm going to go after the chick you're stalking.
I'm going to do it by stalking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, he's, at least through promo, he's made it clear that all of this is about John Cena, but the way to get at John Cena is to go after the girl that is liked by his John Cena's friend. So, not the most straightforward way.
No, it was... Yeah.
I mean, my whole problem with this entire feud is that I know it has an end date. I know we're going to have to get through it fairly soon, because The Rock's going to come back.
Gear up for Rock, yep.
And they're going to start building up WrestleMania. And you can't have Cena do anything too strenuous in this feud, because...
They don't want to risk him
getting hurt. Yeah, you can't risk him this hurt this close to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Because how big of a colossal letdown would it be for WWE if John Cena got hurt before, like, the biggest match that they've ever put together in recent memory? Like, come on. To be honest with you, I'm surprised they're even letting John Cena take any bumps at this point.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, at this point, I don't think you can do anything but cancel the match if something went wrong.
Yeah, and another thing, would John Cena even go to the Royal Rumble? Like, what would be the point?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's got his WrestleMania match.
Yeah, unless he has some sort of grudge match with Kane that night.
And so,
but it really, it would make no sense for John Cena to be at the Rumble.
Yeah, he's got his, you know, wasn't in pay-per-view last week, or last month. So. True. If they've dropped the idea that the match with The Rock is going to be for the belt, then there's no real reason for...
Mm-mm.
Other than a quick grudge match, which...
Other than a quick grudge match, and if they really are just scraping the bottom to find guys to fill up the 30-man roster...
Well, they did 40 men last year, so...
True.
If they're going back to 30...
Still surprised they were able to pull that off.
I am. Well, they pulled it off by having guys who were in matches earlier in the night.
Well, yeah, it helped having the core Nexus around.
Yeah. So.
So I have a new theory that I just thought of. With this whole Kane business.
Yes.
I think Kane is Zack Ryder's new wingman. Because think about it. Eva's kind of been, you know, putting the blocks on and the brakes on Zack Ryder as of late. But where did Eve end up at the end of Monday Night Raw?
In Zack Ryder's car.
Exactly.
If the twist to this storyline is that Zack Ryder has been paying off Kane to drive Eve toward him, I'm going to be deeply impressed in both you and the WWE.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, when Kane chokeslammed Zack Ryder on the quote-unquote wooden crates, off that little ledge, you could see Zack Ryder's, leg after he supposedly hit the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Which pretty much gave away the fact that there was, you know, plenty of padding that they had down there.
Yeah.
And you didn't see Zack Ryder on the wooden crates until John Cena came out.
Okay.
So, didn't actually see Zack Ryder, you know, land.
Yeah.
So, could have been playing possum. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? It's as good a storyline as I think they could come up with.
Well, thank you for telling me that my theory is perfectly adequate.
It is. It is a solid middle-of-the-road theory. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I'm always here to build up.
Oh, I know. I know this. Jerk.
All right. Moving on. And talk for a little bit about R-Truth. R-Truth came back a few weeks ago. He's decided to go after Miz. Because, well, understandably, because Miz is the one that...
He attacked him,
Put him out. But that's made him a face. He left as probably the best heel in the business. Or the most entertaining.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's come back as a face, but with the same crazy character, and I'm just...
But now, he's listening to Little Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm not sure the character's working as well as a face.
No, and I really don't think so, because, I mean, you can't tell the crowd to stop wanting him. You know, now he's embracing it, like you saw him, like, you know,
yeah,
kind of leaning into it. Last night.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The absence of the don't what me line, really, really.
It throws him off. Yeah. It throws off his rhythm when he's talking.
Yeah. Because they want it. They're whatting him as hard as they can.
Uh-huh. And he's just okay with it now.
Yeah.
It's just, Joel, you know how badly I hated R-Truth when he was a face.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to ever reach that level again. Because I'm not going to lie, I looked forward every week to reading on Twitter or on the news somewhere that Ron Killings got future endeavored by the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been so happy with that. And for me, to have my feelings just change at the drop of a hat because of a heel change.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal to me, you know, that, you know, he can come up with such a great character after being such a crappy character for,
well, it's what, because 2 years? For so long he was the generic, just, you know, an athlete character that we were talking about earlier. He's, you know, just this kind of regular run-of-the-mill guy who had nothing, you know, no real...
He was their new MVP after MVP left for... Japan.
Yeah.
Because that was MVP. Like, you know, he was the athletic... I mean, let's just say... Let's just, you know, call it like we see it. He was the athletic minority that could, you know... That just, you know, had that different factor that wasn't like everyone else.
Yeah.
You know? And he just... I don't know. He's just... It seemed like R-Truth, the face, was just trying so hard to get the people on his side.
Yeah.
And to get, well, and to get, I mean, a reaction from the crowd, and the crowd gave him nothing.
He always...
Except for, well, I don't want to say nothing, because there was plenty of people that were doing the whole what's up thing.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know. He always came out with the, you know, he got the cheap hometown pop at the beginning, yeah, of his entrance. And, you know, and he definitely needed that at that time.
Oh, he did.
But, and to be fair, Crazy Face is still light years better than the face he was before this.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
And
can we just start calling him Crazy Face?
I like Crazy Face. Until the turn, at least.
Until the turn, of course. I mean, I'm still all for calling him R-Hooch.
Yes.
Because Hooch is crazy. Oh, all the Scrubs fan out there and the internets will love that one.
All the Scrubs / WWE fans.
Yep, there has to be some sort of overlap somewhere.
I'm sure there is. But, well, to be fair, he has to go after Miz. You know, I've complained too often about people coming back and then not taking care of the wrestler that put him out months prior. Kane.
Yep.
Undertaker, who, came back. Kane put out The Undertaker, and then he came back for WrestleMania with no mention of it.
Yep. Pretty much.
And so, I feel like I can't complain too much about R-Truth going after The Miz now.
I have no ill feelings about that. It's just they really need to be careful where they're going with this character.
Yeah. Well,
because we know that the fact that R-Truth was gone for a month was not planned, and it was not part of their plan for him to do that. So they're kind of just, I'm assuming they're just, you know, kind of just running with what they have.
They are seat of the pants booking right now.
Exactly, yeah.
And you can't be go against The Miz and be a heel right now. Because I think The Miz is like the biggest heel in the company. Or the most solidly grounded as a heel.
Right.
And so, I think it was short-sighted to break up the Awesome Truth tag team.
Yeah, I mean, there could have been so many other ways they could have gone about that.
I know that R-Truth had to take off a month for other reasons, but anybody could have attacked him.
Oh yeah,
definitely. And I think that would have given Miz a Vengeance for My Friend storyline that would have padded out the month for him. So, yeah.
Yep. And I mean, I know they didn't want to involve, because I mean, the only person that R-Truth and Miz had wrestled at that point was John Cena and Rock.
Yeah.
And I know they didn't want to involve Rock too much because, you know, he's got his own stuff to do. And, you know, apparently, I'm assuming at that point they already had plans for Cena and Kane. So, I mean, I guess their backs were kind of up against the wall.
You know who they could have used was John Morrison. Because that the very next week was when Miz took him out for good.
Yep.
So, it's just...
And you know what? That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect if they just held off on kicking John Morrison out and just had Morrison attack R-Truth. And then the next week, Miz take out John Morrison for, you know, vengeance for his friend. And that would have been perfect.
Yep.
Presto Janjo, we would have been a lot simpler situation.
Yeah. That should have happened.
It should have happened.
Because, yeah,
there's no way around it. Yeah.
Biggest recent tragedy is the loss of the Awesome Truth tag team.
Yep.
So.
Because now we're left with Air Boom.
Yay.
What?
Just the whole tag team division in general is
pretty much in shambles.
Well, I mean, you have Air Boom, who is two guys who were at the top of the mid card, you know, who had, you know, touched main event stardom. They weren't main eventers themselves, but
right.
they were kind of there, and then they team up, and then there's like C level carders, who all have tag teams now, because they've made a good number of tag teams, since then.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and admit that, Primo and Epico.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty impressive.
They are.
Like I like them a lot, which is saying a lot because you know we've all given our good share of grief to Primo in recent years.
Yeah.
But those two guys, you know, they I mean, it could be worse. It could be, you know, Honoko and Camacho, or however you say it.
The other tag team.
Yeah.
It's just, any, you know, because, yeah, there's a hole there for Primo to climb out of. And he's, you know, he has this tag team now that he has to drag along with him.
Yeah, because, let's be honest, Primo hasn't had any kind of a career since, you know, they fired his brother Carlito.
Yeah.
You know, so ever since then, he's just been kind of treading water.
Yeah.
Waiting for his cousin to show up, apparently.
So it's going to be, even though they've won for a few weeks, it's going to be a while before it feels like they're a legitimate threat to the title.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but we'll see. We'll see if they stick with it and actually build up multiple tag teams. All right, next story I want to talk about is about Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. And try and decide, is Daniel Bryan a heel yet? Because he's...
They're certainly trying to make it look
he's
like
kind
it.
Of this, like, stuck in this quasi-heel, you know...
Yeah, he's kind of
no
like
man's land
purgatory right now. Yeah, he just... You don't know what exactly he is. He's just kind of... He's doing all the heel actions, but not quite getting the heel reaction yet.
Well, he's not a solid heel. Like, he still has... I'm a good guy kind of thing. He shook hands before a match. And he, you know, he made his claim that he's a fighting champion. He's willing to constantly defend his belt, which is something right. that heels hate to do.
Oh, God.
And then, you know, when Big Show responded with, that's great, this Friday on SmackDown, He didn't back out of that. He was like, "All right, let's do it." So he still has these, you know, these face components to him, but then you get the braggy show off kind of thing, which, you know, to be fair, CM Punk is, you know, spending his time bragging about how good he is. But
right.
we're eating that up right now.
True, but, you know.
I mean.
CM Punk is winning matches, like, legit. And where you have Daniel Bryan, who is kind of winning through these backdoor kind of situations.
Yeah, he did win very heel-like by a countout this past week
yeah.
on SmackDown.
Won by a countout, and then won with a backdoor roll-up.
Yeah. So, I don't know, it's, you'll know he's a heel when Michael Cole says something nice about him.
Yeah, which hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened yet. Well, it's, you know, Michael Cole built his heel character on, one, siding with The Miz, and two, you know, cutting down Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So, that's, if we'll go all the way back to NXT... That was, you know, some of the first real heel antics coming from Michael Cole. So, it's going to be odd to see, because I feel pretty confident that they are going for a heel character here.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
I guess we'll have to wait a few. I don't know if we'll have to wait through the Rumble.
I think it's fair to say that they might wait until maybe something during his big, like, first pay-per-view title defense.
Yeah.
Maybe something then. You know, because it looks like now they're really just pushing him and Big Show.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying about R-Truth, this wasn't the initial plan because, you know, the title got cashed in. Because Mark Henry, you know, had his little torn muscles and had to sit out the main event scene.
Just go ahead and say it, Joel.
Groin.
His pulled wiener.
And so...
And yes, people, I don't know. I know that that's not what's really happening with his injury, so calm down. Pulled wiener's funnier.
Well, the thing is, they clearly, they're still very invested in Mark Henry, because, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they're keeping him around, and he's still, you know.
He's still in matches, you know, he doesn't take the bump, and he only spends a few minutes in the ring, but they are making sure the character stays relevant.
I mean, it's the same thing with when CM Punk had that, I believe it was a hip injury, and they kept around for commentary and stuff like that.
Man, commentary was good then.
It was. Oh, so, good old days.
You need more CM Punks. You need a couple of clones.
But, and they need another old school night. Because I remember that happened around the same time he was on commentary.
Yeah. But, anyway, that's, you know, it's new. It's a new plan for Daniel Bryan kind of out of the gate. So it'll be interesting if he has a whole character shift because of...
Which is better than no plan for Daniel Bryan, because that was the case for a while.
Yeah. Well, putting it off till WrestleMania.
I'm fair game for it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where this goes. So, I'm still very invested.
Of course.
All right, for our final story of the night, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame inductees have started to be announced for the class of 2012. And so I'm assuming we'll get a few more over the next couple of months all the way up to the night before WrestleMania. But they announce their big one first. And so this year's big inductee who they announced this week on Raw is going to be Edge, which, I mean, felt like of course that was going to be Edge. They're real big fans of inducting people as soon as they retire. They did the same thing with Shawn Michaels last year.
And see, I'm not trying to take anything away from Edge, because I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, because he does, but the only person who ever got inducted into the Hall of Fame right after he retired was Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I don't think Edge is a Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
You know? And again, I think he's a fantastic wrestler, and I definitely think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be this early. And two, honestly, I think the first person they should have inducted this year was... Randy Savage.
Randy Savage, yeah.
You know, that's just how I feel, and like, I know a lot of people felt the same way, but
I mean,
it just
And
of course, like, to be honest with you, I'm surprised that they're not inducting Rock.
Yeah.
Because they're in his hometown, and they like to do stuff like that. They like to induct people that are from that area that year.
Yeah.
So they're in his hometown. He's technically been retired for a while now, so why not?
Yeah, I don't...
'Cause, I mean, you know he's going to end up in there anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any plans for The Rock post-WrestleMania. I mean, I know he says he's never leaving again, and they do have him in their theme song now, in the video. So...
Yeah, but...
I do wonder if there will be... You know, some occasional Rock appearances post WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not doubting that. I'm pretty sure that we'll see plenty of Rock after WrestleMania. You know,
but and you know, also to be fair, they inducted Ric Flair before he was retired.
Before,
but you know, it was the WrestleMania still, where he retired. He was inducted the night before.
And speaking of.
Well, the other ones were the Four Horsemen got inducted.
And it... I don't know how they're going to get around the Ric Flair situation, you know?
Well...
For a company that refuses to acknowledge TNA's existence...
Yeah.
How are they going to get around a guy who is very much a big part of TNA programming right now?
Yeah.
you know.
Well, you'll notice that when they were going through the horsemen, they kind of skimped on the Ric Flair information.
Oh, yeah, they were very short about it.
The video package.
They mentioned him and just kind of left.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame already. He's there.
Right.
And so, it's a thing where Ric Flair did, I think, come back last year for Shawn Michaels' introduction. You know, he wasn't a part of the ceremony, but he was there that night.
He was there, and he was, I mean, I think they kept the cameras off of him and everything, and I think he was backstage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they, you know, at least allowed him to be there.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was a very classy move on WWE's part. You know, I'm confused on how they're going to handle this situation. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Hall of Fame has a standing problem that it's a WWE Hall of Fame and not a pro wrestling Hall of Fame. Right. And I think WWE desperately would like to have, to be the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. And to do that, you know, they have to acknowledge...
They have to recognize TNA, yep.
That, yeah, and it's not that the Four Horsemen doesn't deserve to be there, because I think as they a staple, do. They do. But, yeah, so part of that is Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yeah, like... You can't just have three of the four horsemen there.
That would be just real awkward.
That would be awkward. That would be atrocious, and every one of the fans would be up in arms.
Yeah,
you know, and just laying into WWE for it as well they should.
Yeah, but so it was you know, multiple those two interesting choices, right? Edge for the reasons that you said. I mean, the reasons you said, because, yes, I think most people agree that Edge was a future Hall of Famer.
Definitely, yeah.
And it feels kind of weird that he's already being inducted, but that's because his career was cut short.
Yeah.
And it feels something like Stone Cold's, you know, career was cut short. So... Yes, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but to do it, you know, if you had last WrestleMania said Edge will be in the Hall of Fame by next WrestleMania, that would have felt weird. It's interesting because next year, WrestleMania is going to be in Canada, like you said, they like to induct people during. You know, when they're near their hometown.
You know for a fact it's going to be in Canada.
Hmm?
You know for a fact
it's going to be in Canada. I think so. Right? I mean...
Where'd you hear that?
The internet somewhere. So...
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, that definitely feels off.
That's when you know? Edge... And it's... Yeah.
Unless Edge is going to heal up and come back for one more match.
Well, that's the thing is...
That's always possible.
Sometime, you know, they've had multiple cases in the past where they have a retiree in the Hall of Fame who then jumps ship and goes to TNA, Ric Flair, like we've mentioned.
Right.
But I don't think that's a huge concern for Edge.
No, not at all.
You know, because yeah, I think WWE would love to have him back. He's still young enough that I do think that I think he's capable of having that one more match thing.
Yeah, and especially if he's that rested up and, you know, he's... Because the problem with a lot of his injuries that he's had is that he doesn't give them enough time to heal completely.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like if they just let him be until... whenever WWE's in Canada, I think it'll be fine, yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be nice to see him be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, we'll we'll go on the next several weeks as we get new inductees, and I assume we'll also be able to get a celebrity inductee again this year.
Oh, God.
So, which is always a bit of a stretch. Well, you know what? It's not always a bit of a stretch. It was just a bit of a stretch last year.
Yep, because they gave it to a guy who was in one appearance in, what, 99?
Sure.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was just a five-minute
comedy
part
bit
in it, and that was it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that was enough for a Hall of Fame bid, so I don't know.
Yep. I think that's it for me this week.
Yeah, that's it for me too.
All right, that was wrestling this week.
Yay.
And we'll always, you know, we'll be back here next week to talk to you some more.
And be sure to go call your mama.
Yes, make sure somebody tells your mama. All right, so long. And huzzah.
Hello. Huzzah.